This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Hey everyone, it's your host, Sasha Ann Simons. Now before we get to our interview about the push to create a digital ID program in Illinois, I want to get your feedback. Now this week on Reset, we are launching a new feature that we're calling the Question of the Week. Every Monday or Tuesday here on the pod, we're sharing a question for you to respond to. And we'll be working your responses back into the podcast, our radio show, and Reset's daily newsletter. Now you've probably heard that the parent companies of Juul and Mariano's are trying to merge. Now, if they're successful, the partnership would have big implications for Chicago area shoppers. That's why we want to know, where do you do your grocery shopping and why? You can leave us a voicemail at 888-915-9945, and we'll play your answer here on the podcast as well as on the radio. Again, our question of the week is, where do you do your grocery shopping and why? Tell us what you love about where you shop at 888-915-9945. Okay, on with the show. As soon as next year, Illinois residents could be able to store their driver's licenses or state IDs on their phones. Now, that's a concept I was first introduced to while I lived in Maryland. It's one of nearly a dozen states already offering this service. But still, the idea kind of freaks me out. Last week, Illinois Secretary of State Alexis Janulius came out in support of a bill before the legislature that would create a digital ID program. So what could that look like in our state? And what are the pros and cons? We talked with the bill's sponsor, State Rep Cam Buckner. Here's why he's excited about giving Illinois residents this option.
This is the future. We know that a large percentage of Illinoisans are mobile smartphone users. And we also know that places like Utah, Oklahoma, Mississippi, and Louisiana are already offering digital licenses and digital IDs to the people who live in those states. And not to be disparaging, but those states are not necessarily bastions of technological advancement, right? We are Silicon Prairie. And Chicago is the center of the universe, if you ask me, but also places like Champaign-Urbana, that is one of the biggest and best tech startup cities in the country. I'm excited about Illinois finally getting the chance to step up and to catch up in the space.
We also checked in with Northwestern University law professor Matthew Kugler. He specializes in privacy law, and he told us about some of the concerns out there about this technology.
If it's being added to Apple Wallet, then it has the same security as everything else we put in Apple Wallet, which could be boarding passes, credit cards, vaccine records, etc. Now, if the state of Illinois rolls out its own freestanding way of doing this, then we'd have to look at that exact thing and see how it worked.
All right, now let's hear more about the pros and cons of digital IDs.
I have two toddlers at home, and sometimes things go missing at the last moment. The ability to have my license on my phone might reduce stress on a busy morning. I could really see that being the case. The concern I have when I look at the bill is it sounds like I'm still supposed to have the physical card on me anytime I present the electronic card.
Right.
Which seems like an odd choice. And I saw,
or like it defeats the purpose.
Somewhat, yes. I mean, obviously, sometimes I have my phone out, my wallet is in a bag, my wallet is in a purse. I could see some convenience purpose. I looked at an earlier version of this from a prior session of the legislature where that wasn't a provision, and I am a little confused why that's in there now, just because I thought the whole point was to modernize and get away from the paper rather than to have yet another thing to keep track of.
Right. Well, here's another perspective. Now, we heard from the representative about other states using the option, right? Now, this includes Maryland, where I used to live, Professor, and my partner currently has the digital option of the driver's license and has never used it. It just sits there in his Apple Wallet.
I could imagine a case where it would be helpful. I recently moved and updated my address with the Illinois Secretary of State, but didn't get a new physical driver's license. If the digital license could update itself, then it might be easier to say, get a new library card, because I could present my new address on a state ID.
Right.
So I could see some virtue there. Having said that, it might be the case where the early adopters do not have a lot of use of this, but that as time goes on and various entities catch up, things change there.
Yeah. Well, the Secretary of State's office has outlined a privacy feature that could hide certain information like the address on the digital feature while showing your date of birth so that someone can prove their age when they're, for instance, renting a car or trying to buy alcohol. So here's the representative on the steps that are being taken to ensure that the information is actually stored safely.
Obviously, security and safety and privacy are three of the biggest issues that we were concerned with. The reason that we did not push this bill last year is because the secretary wanted the time to do the actual due diligence and figure out the best practices in this space so that we can provide a very clear and cogent route for the people of Illinois in this space. We, in fact, believe that this is going to be safer than the current license. You know, right now, traditional plastic cards are easier to steal or misplace. And once someone has them, they have unfettered access to all of your information, your height, your weight, your date of birth, where you live. But we can use the same technology that is used through Apple Pay and certain other platforms to protect the type of information that's provided on these cards so that they'll be encrypted. And, you know, the only identity or the only information that you'll be sharing is stuff that you want to share.
So encryption, protection, I mean, does any of that reassure you, Professor?
A fair bit, yes, because keep in mind, the state already has all of this data. It's the same data that's used to create your physical card.
Right.
So it isn't that the state of Illinois has gained information from doing this. And so if you are an attractive young woman going to the bar and you want to show the bartender proof of age without also showing them your address, I could see a role for something like this. I'm not sure how many people would actually do that, but I don't think there's that much of an added privacy cost to creating a digital option here. Mm. And as you said at the beginning, it is only an option. People can simply not use this if they're concerned about it.
Yeah. And how would you respond then to concerns from folks that a digital ID may allow them to be tracked, right? Or that their data is somehow being used without their knowledge?
So some of that depends on how this is implemented. If it's being added to Apple Wallet, then it has the same security as everything else we put in Apple Wallet, which could be boarding passes, credit cards, vaccine records, etc. And so that's really more about how much you trust Apple and Apple Wallet than it is about the state of Illinois.
I see.
Now, if the state of Illinois rolls out its own freestanding way of doing this, then we'd have to look at that exact thing and see how it worked. But my understanding of this is they're not proposing something quite like that. I think they're proposing leveraging existing vendors that we already use and already largely trust.
I see.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Well, I want to talk through what can happen in a traffic stop, because that's where my mind went initially when this proposal came down. So the bill clearly states that police can't search someone's phone if they do present a digital ID. But what concerns do you have about how that could actually play out in practice?
So the bill does say it's not consent to search the phone if I show you my ID on the phone.
Right.
And it says that the police are supposed to return the phone once they verify the ID. It sounds like they're not even supposed to take physical possession of the phone. And
so like we would just turn it and show it to them, essentially.
I think that's what the bill is envisioning. Now, whether that's exactly the system that would be built would be an interesting question, because again, if I were an attractive young woman, I would be reluctant to hand my phone to a police officer to take back to their car to verify my driver's license. And that's how it generally has worked with my physical ID. You hand the license and insurance card, they disappear with it, and then they come back. I might be concerned to hand my unlocked phone over to a police officer, even if I was pretty sure nothing in there could be used to prosecute me. That would just involve a lot of trust.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the bill's envisioning more scan it, beep, beep, as opposed to take it.
Here's my phone and do whatever you please with it for the next few minutes. Let's listen to the representative responding to this same concern.
Yeah, the implementation part is a huge piece of it, and you bring up a great point. You know, we will be working, the Secretary of State's office will be working for sure with police departments around the state to make sure that we are, you know, aligned in the way this should work. The way digital licenses are designed or should be designed, it should mean that you don't have to ever hand your phone over to an officer. That officer can be able to scan your phone or scan a code or scan a QR or barcode or a QR code on your phone that will give them the information that is on your license just to be able to make sure that you are who you say you are. I know that there are concerns specifically by the ACLU about actually handing over your phone to law enforcement. And believe me, I get that. I am concerned about that, too. But the route that we're going and the things that we're trying to build within not just this legislation, but the actual implementation should make that a non-factor.
I know that you have thought, Professor, about the QR code option that he mentioned. How could that work?
So keep in mind that police cruisers have access to the driver's license database. And so when they take your license back to the car, they can search that database. Also, your license has a not a QR code per se, but something much like it on the back, and people can scan that and verify it is a valid license.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no reason you can't put that same functionality on the digital ID so they can scan it, access the secure state database that contains the information, and they can at a glance confirm that the name is the same as they're being shown, that the face matches the face that they're seeing, etc.
Right.
So in that sense, it could be an instantaneous process. You never have to hand them your phone, and the privacy threat then would be quite minimal. Now, is that exactly the system they're going to build? I'll be interested to take a look in a year and see what we've got.
So it isn't clear yet, Professor, where the ID could be stored on someone's mobile device, at least here in Illinois. It could be on the Apple Wallet, like the example I mentioned earlier, or an app that is just specifically for this purpose. You've talked about this before, but just drill in here. I mean, can you foresee any privacy issues with Apple Wallet, for instance, or a designated app?
So if it's a designated custom-made app, then you'd have to ask all the usual app questions. What information is being shared with that app? How is it reporting back? How is the information updated? All of that is on the table and needs to be addressed. If you're using something like Apple Wallet, Apple actually has pretty decent privacy controls on something like that. And I would not be concerned about adding one more thing to Apple Wallet. With all of this, always look for the incremental privacy cost.
Yeah.
The state already has all this information. So if you're scared about them having it, that's the status quo. That's where we are now.
Yeah.
And if you're scared about Apple Wallet, that's where we are now.
Right. Yeah. And if you're scared about someone seeing, you know, your information, your address information, date of birth, et cetera, I can say that the Apple Wallet version that I've seen, like out of the state of Maryland, doesn't have any of that on there. It really only has your first name and last initial, too. So perhaps even more secure.
Yeah. And that's really a question of how it's built. How customizable is it? Can I choose to show you this and them that? And as I look at the press release, that seems to be what they're envisioning here. But they're not required to provide that level of customization in the bill itself.
Yeah. Now, another concern is what this transition could mean for workers at the DMV. Here is State Representative Buckner one more time.
We've got thousands of union employees in the Secretary of State's office who are doing the actual work today to deliver these cards. But we want to make sure that they're safe, that their jobs are not disadvantaged because of what we're doing, and that we can make sure that technology does not ruin the customer service priorities that the Secretary of State and then all of us within the state have for that department in that office.
How do you think this change could impact the customer experience at the DMV?
Whenever something becomes more digital, more electronic, it often becomes easier for people to take care of themselves in a self-service way. Mm-hmm. Now, when I look at the DMV, I don't think we're seeing a case where people's jobs are at risk. I think that there is plenty of work for them to do. I have certainly never walked in there and said, too many people are working today.
Right. Driver's licenses are only one small portion of what it is that they do.
And even with that, you end up waiting a long time. There's a lot that has to happen. There's a lot they want to verify the first time you sign up. So I really don't think there'll be a major problem there. I am worried a little bit if people get confused when they can use their digital ID versus when they need a physical card.
Yeah.
And at the moment, it sounds like you're always supposed to have the physical card as a backup. And that strikes me as a potential for problems, as people just don't know what the rule is.
So leave us with this, Professor. Now, the representative is hopeful that the bill will be assigned to committee this week. What are you going to be watching for as the bill makes its way through the State House and Senate?
We've both flagged this issue of, do you need to have the physical ID? And that strikes me as something that a committee could easily ask about. And we might see a proposed committee amendment in the near future if someone else shares that concern. But in general, bills either get traction and move through relatively quickly. We have unified party control of the two houses, mm-hmm. or they die very quickly. Now, with the Secretary of State signing on, I think this bill will get a hearing. I think people will pay attention to it.
Yeah.
A similar bill last year made it through a number of rounds before ultimately dying on the floor. So I think there is a recognition that modernization is possible here and is beneficial.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. For more on city and state politics, check back with us on Fridays for our weekly news recap. Three Chicago journalists will break down the biggest stories of the week. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.